And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is presence, either online or off. Each of my guests is sharing what it takes to have a strong presence. My next guest has studied charisma and leadership. She'll explain the charisma myth by using Steve Jobs' Apple as an example. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Olivia Fox is an expert in the fields of charisma and leadership, as I said. She has lectured at Stanford, Yale, Harvard, MIT, and the United Nations. Olivia helps people increase their ability to influence, persuade, and inspire others. Olivia's work has a thorough base in behavioral science. Her work at Berkeley's Haas School of Business was so popular that the university staff had to guard the entrance to prevent unauthorized students from entering. She's a regular columnist for Forbes magazine. Olivia is also featured in the media such as the New York Times, Bloomberg, Business Week, and she was recently profiled in the Wall Street Journal. Olivia holds both French and American citizenship, and she's fluent in four languages. We'll have her conduct today's interview in English. Welcome to the show, Olivia. How are you today?
Hi, Bill. It's a pleasure to be.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you for being our guest here, and thank you for joining us on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. I love to talk to thought leaders in areas, and charisma is one of those areas that's probably frontmost in the news right now because of what's going on in Washington. You've made it your life's work studying charisma and leadership, and charisma, to me in particular, is a tough concept to grasp because most people, me included, believe that it's something that you're either born with or not. But let's use an example to disprove that idea, because many investors believe that Apple is as great as it is because of Steve Jobs and because he's a charismatic leader. They believe that Apple is going to stumble when Steve Jobs leaves, just like he's out on this medical leave right now. Steve Jobs wasn't always the leader that he is today. So take us through it. Explain how Steve Jobs, the CEO and co-founder of Apple, grew to be this charismatic force that he is.
Sure. One of the few things that you need to know about charisma is indeed that first, it can be learned. It's not innate. And you can see people measurably increase the level of charisma through the years as they practice different skills. And Steve Jobs, as you're pointing out, is an excellent example. If you look at Jobs' first public presentation in 1984, when he was introducing to us the Macintosh, he comes across as shy, bashful, awkward, very nerdy, not comfortable or confident on stage, absolutely not charismatic. And you can see him gradually in different presentations from 1996 onward, 2000, 2005, 2007 to 2011, you can see as he gained comfort and confidence on stage and was able to balance that out with warmth. The two dimensions of charisma are first, confidence, and second, warmth.
All right, confidence and warmth. I like that. But talk to me, because back in 1984, when he was rolling out the Macintosh, we had a stereotype perception of the nerd, had the big bow tie, had the corduroy jacket, the big glasses that were oversized. And in fact, Steve Jobs had that exact same image in that rollout in 1984. Wasn't he just giving us exactly what we were expecting at the time?
He was. He was actually not doing very well for stage ownership. If you look at him in 84, he does indeed have the big glasses. He also clearly does not know how to own a stage. Not only does he spend most of his time looking down his shoes, he often goes into complete darkness when he moves from one end of the stage to the other and leaves the audience with nothing to look at.
All right. Now, you talk about owning the stage. Elaborate on that for me, if you will. What do you mean by owning the stage?
Sure. Owning the stage is giving the perception that you are as comfortable on the stage as you would be in your living room. And if you look at his more recent presentations, 2005, 2007, he strolls casually across the stage as if he were in his living room. The stage is his turf. That's what's called stage ownership. And this is something that professional magicians, for instance, spend a lot of time doing.
Well, that's interesting. So you're drawing some parallels between what Steve Jobs does and what a professional magician does. Explain that connection for me, please.
Oh, very much. A professional magician, imagine what they look like on stage. Black cape, black top hat in front of black curtains. They pull out a white rabbit out of the top hat. Jobs does that more and more throughout his presentations. You'll see him in black t-shirt, black jeans, in front of a black background, pulling out a white G4 Cube or a white iPod Nano out of a black pouch or of a black jeans pocket. He will also use zoom and close-ups of the camera, direct the audience's attention to exactly where he wants it to go.
All right, sleight of hand is what he's using there, is what you're saying.
Precisely.
All right. So he's a bit of a magician, but talk to me a little bit more about this stage presence, or let's go back, if we can, to that stage presence. So when you own the stage, you feel comfortable in your own skin, you feel comfortable that the audience has their eyes on you. What are you giving back to the audience? If you're owning the stage, what are you giving them in return for their attention?
Mm-hmm. It's a question of ROI. What is the return that you're giving the audience for their investment of attention and effort to follow you? Steve Jobs clearly understands that he is in the entertainment business, and he seeks to give the audience a high level of entertainment for each ounce of attention they're giving him. So that will come through the wow effect of magician reveals. That could come through, of course, humor. That could come through feeling like they're part of a important story. He's very good at giving a sense of drama. That could come through the sense that they're getting privileged information. He's revealing things to them that no one else has seen before.
All right. Well, that's very good. Now, one of the things that I've had the privilege of attending Steve Jobs' presentations over the years, one of the things that I've always noticed about him is his use of, for lack of a better term, what I call the Columbo effect, made famous by Peter Falk in the Columbo TV series, where he would be questioning somebody and then he'd come back, just one more thing. And that's what Steve Jobs does so very effectively on stage. So talk to me about the Columbo effect and that, how that helps to build Steve Jobs' charisma.
It's actually a classic influence technique that's used as a bonus. When you've put out everything on the table and it's already looking pretty impressive, but you've kept a joker up your sleeve, and that is the drop of water that makes the vase overflow, and people go, oh, this just is more excitement almost than they can handle. That's the effect he's looking for.
All right. The bonus effect. I like that. So talk to me my guest is Olivia Fox. She's the author of the forthcoming book, The Charisma Myth, How Anyone Can Muster the Art and Science of Personal Magnetism. So talk to me about each of the following and how Steve Jobs uses these to enhance his charismatic style. Number one, his understated wardrobe.
Jobs understands one thing well. In order to be charismatic, you have to be comfortable. In order to be comfortable, you have to wear clothing that makes you feel comfortable and confident. So when you are wearing something that does not restrict or constrain or in any way impair your movement or in any way cause physical discomfort, you have a much better chance of feeling confident on stage. And in addition, when the clothing is understated, people will pay attention to what you say. When the clothing is over the top, they'll pay attention to your clothing.
All right, so you don't want to dress like a clown because it will take away from the impact. Talk to me, and you briefly discussed this, his casual body language, and now he strolls across the stage, but he's always been very relaxed. He's gotten away from behind the podium. Talk to me about things in his body language that maybe my listeners could adapt in their own day-to-day lifestyle to become more charismatic.
One of the things that Jobs has done well over the years is that he's gradually decreased his amount of unnecessary gestures. If you look at his early presentations, his hands were fluttering about quite a bit, and he would use his hand gestures for emphasis as well as for making points he wasn't sure his language was making well enough. As he gets more confident and as his speeches get better and tighter, he uses less and less hand gestures. And he uses them only occasionally to underline a few points. Realize that any time you are making any kind of body language signal, you are asking your audience for part of their attention. Always ask yourself, is this worth my audience's attention?
All right, I'm going to stop you right there, Olivia, and challenge you, because only 7% of what we say, the words, are actually part of the meaning. I mean, the rest, the 93% is tied up in our body language and in our tone and our intonation. So body language is a very important part of that. So you're saying be understated when it comes to body language. Doesn't that run anathema to what you're trying to get a point across as your point?
actually, it's exactly what I'm saying. Because your body language is so critical, every gesture you make is a form of communication. Ask yourself, with each gesture, facial expression, any time that you are communicating nonverbally, is this giving out a clear and coherent message? That's why useless gestures so severely detract from your message, because you're increasing the amount of noise in the one channel that matters.
Okay. Well, then, Olivia, talk to me in Steve Jobs' case about how he's used his health problems. He had a liver transplant, and now he's suffering some sort of a relapse, we're not exactly sure what, from that liver transplant. Talk to me about how he uses his health issues to really exacerbate his charisma.
Well, I'm sorry if I gave you that impression. That actually is, in his 2011 presentation, he is showing humanity, frailty, but it's not increasing his charisma in his particular case. Other people, such as Sam Walton or Frank Sinatra, would use their humanity to increase charisma. In Jobs' case, by 2011, he's actually past his peak as far as charismatic stage presence goes.
Oh, I see. So he's a little bit, okay. And that's interesting that you should point that out. So Olivia Fox, in the few minutes that we've got remaining, give us one or two things that my listeners can do immediately to help them to become more charismatic, whether it's at work or at home. Something that we can practice today.
One of the key things is increasing your amount of self-confidence. That is probably the number one key to charisma. And a good way to go about that is to get detachment from your inner critical voices, which everyone has, and get familiar with the different voices so that you can take them less seriously. For instance, a lot of people have what is called an imposter syndrome, the feeling that you don't really know what you're doing, and it's just a matter of time before you're found out and exposed as a fraud. If you can understand that that feeling is actually a completely normal biological legacy we all have, that will already give you some distance, and that will help you measurably increase your self-confidence.
All right. Now, how do you differentiate? Because it's a feeling. I mean, you may not even be aware that you are feeling the imposter syndrome, but you are. So how do you detach yourself to become more self-confident?
One good example is to see negative thoughts, self-critical thoughts, worries, as just the product of your mind, the same way that hearing is what your ears do, seeing is what your eyes do, thinking is what your mind does. And the same way that there can be optical illusions that trick your eyes into seeing something that's not really there, there can be thought distortions that make you believe as real thoughts that attack your self-confidence that are not actually valid.
All right, so there are mind illusions as well. What other tips, Olivia, do you have to help increase either our confidence or our warmth to make us more charismatic?
On the confidence part, one easy one is to breathe. Very often people are breathing from their chest, which is shallow breathing, which increases the feelings of anxiety. And it's hard to be fully confident when you've got a background of anxiety. Another one to increase warmth is to generate compassion and see the people that are facing you. Imagine them as little angels having angel wings. Whether or not it's real is, of course, irrelevant. What happens is that just by considering this possibility, it will shift the way you look at them. It'll shift your body language. It'll make you a more warm person as people perceive you.
All right. My guest is Olivia Fox, author of the book, The Charisma Myth, How Anyone Can Master the Art and Science of Personal Magnetism. Olivia, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, The Charisma Myth?
It's really the belief that anyone can learn charisma. And you actually don't need to wait for the book. The website already has a fair amount of resources. It's easy. AskOlivia.com, and they'll find a lot of self-tests and articles there that they can just download.
All right. That's AskOlivia.com is the website. Olivia, thank you so much for being our special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
You're very welcome. Have a great day.
Thanks. And you do the same.